As a church, we have been in a discussion starting last week about going and telling the others. We've been investigating the deep truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And now we consider how we go and tell the others of this message. And going and telling the others, why are we even having this conversation at church? Why are we having this discussion? Why is it such an important thing? Because after all, an option is to hole up here, be a holy huddle in our building, and that could all be fine. We could all go meet the Lord in heaven one day. But it's an important discussion to have. While we could do that, the weight of this message, the weight of the evil in the world, and the weight and the consequences of not following Jesus Christ is too dire to keep it to ourselves. So we have discussions about going and telling the others. Brothers and sisters, the life of souls are at stake. And what I mean by souls is it's that immaterial part of us. I'm not talking about our flesh, our bodies, but the Bible actually teaches there's an immaterial part of us, our soul. And the life of souls apart from Jesus Christ are at stake. As it says in Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ today, the light of the gospel has shone on you. The light of that message that even though that we have a debt of sin before a holy God, it is paid for through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, and then as we have faith in him, we're made alive with him. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the light that we have. And it's a message many people don't have. Even here in Northwest Iowa, over in Southeast South Dakota, Southwest Minnesota, even here at home, there are people who do not have this message. There's people who have not embraced this message. And because of this, they are on the road to destruction, and there's many souls at stake. And it's an eternal consequence. It's an eternal ramification. While our bodies, when we die, they're buried, and we go back to dust, our souls live on forever. Our immaterial part of us lives on forever. And we either are conscious living to our Lord and Savior forever, or we live in constant, eternal, conscious punishment away from him. God chose people to spread his kingdom, brothers and sisters. The kingdom of God being the rule of God, is that what that means? It's not an earthly, it's not a tangible kingdom that we sense out with our five senses. It's an indivisible rule, and it's we as ambassadors for this kingdom. God chose me to spread his kingdom and rule in the world. And God chose you individually and as a church to spread his kingdom and rule in this world. And, you know, his people are prone to compartmentalizing their faith. I'm prone at times to compartmentalize my faith. When I was in Oklahoma studying to become a counselor, I have a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. And what I was taught time and time again from this Christian institution was, yes, it's fine to be a Christian on Sundays, yes, it's fine to be a Christian in this, but when you are a therapist, you put that aside and therapy becomes number one. There's a professor quoted saying that. Therapy becomes number one, Christianity and Jesus becomes number two. Here's the problem with that kind of thinking. The life of souls are at stake. People are dying apart from Jesus Christ, headed towards an eternal destruction because God's a just God and sin will be punished. And there's people who will be forever separated from anything good and loving, and we're saying it's supposed to be number two? That is not an option. Faith is not to be compartmentalized. It's not to be put aside. Even if we're prone to it, we are supposed to uncover our faith and show it to the world. And here's the deal. If faith is compartmentalized, if it's put away into another compartment and we box it up and we box God into the way that we want him boxed into, If faith is compartmentalized, people who are apart from Jesus Christ do not hear the good news of life. If we put it away in our community, and we put it away as a church, and we hole up here, if we hole up in our own careers and our own homes, people do not hear the good news of the gospel. They do not hear the good news of salvation. They do not hear about the ultimate love that's found through Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls and for the bursting forth of their souls to be alive to God and set free from sin and set free from the debt that they have towards God because of their sin. People do not hear this good news if we put our faith away. So, brothers and sisters, so that the others may give glory to God, so that people outside our fold may give glory to God, so that people outside of our lives and our families, with our friends and our acquaintances and our schools and our communities and our world, so that people may give glory to God and be in a good relationship with Him as we are in a good relationship with Him, we tell the others. We do not compartmentalize our faith. Rather, we continually shine the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the others may give glory to God. Because souls are at stake, brothers and sisters, we know two things today. We know that death is moving, so we preserve the others. And we know that others outside of Jesus Christ and His kingdom are lost, so we light the way. Picking up here in our text in Matthew 5:13, Jesus says, this is the Sermon on the Mount, a great collection of teachings in the book of Matthew. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Before this is the Beatitudes, where Jesus pronounced blessings on the blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and then a grammar, if you know grammar, I don't really know what emphatic means, but the emphatic is said here, you are the salt of the earth. It's not do better and be more salty. He's saying, you are the salt of the earth. He's talking to his disciples, and he's talking to probably 100 to 200 other people during the sermon, and he's saying, you are the salt of the earth. If you placed your faith and trusted me, and if you trusted in that message that we taught on last week, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, if you've turned from your sins, and if you trusted towards Christ, if you've done those, the two sides of that same coin, then you are the salt of the earth. As people of the kingdom of God, we are the salt of the earth to preserve and to season. In that culture, salt was important. It was a preservative. Without refrigeration, meat had to be seasoned with salt in order for it to be preserved. And not doing so, it led to the decay. And I don't know if you know it or not, but our souls, apart from Jesus Christ, are on that same trajectory. Apart from Jesus Christ, our souls are headed towards decay, they wither, and they are ultimately destroyed. And so to preserve our souls, to preserve people, we are the salt of the earth. We are the agents of salt and light in our world and community. God chose us before the foundation of the world to be salt and agents for His kingdom, even here in 2021, in our cultural moment and in our world. And so we act as a preservative. We don't compartmentalize our faith, but we actually go out into the culture, and even though there's all kinds of debates about what that looks like, many theologians come to the same consensus that we are to be agents of change in our culture. We are supposed to be a preserving force in our culture, that even though our culture is going towards decay, it's going towards immorality and all the rest, Christians are to be the salt and the preserving force in our world. We are to be that which preserves. Jesus goes on to say, if the salt has lost its taste, however, how shall saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I want you to sense the weightiness of this, brothers and sisters. Because of the fact that souls apart from Jesus Christ are headed towards eternal destruction, and a destruction that we can't even fathom in our world. We see the destructions of tornadoes over in Lenox, South Dakota, and the wind here at the church. But how much more is it to be under destruction, be under our sin and the punishment for our sin and eternal separation? It's a big deal. And it's a big deal to Jesus. It's such a big deal that he says, if the salt has lost its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. Because people apart from Christ are withering away. Because people apart from Christ are decaying. Their spiritual inner being, their inner man is decaying. And because that is such a big deal, salt that is useless is thrown out. See, to be a part of the kingdom of God is to be an agent of preservation and salt. That's our mission. And it's thrown out, even though that sounds harsh, salt that is useless is thrown out because the people, there are people on the road to destruction that are spiritually dying. I want to share the words to you from the hymn, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. It was penned in 1819 by George Adkins. And these are the words. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? I was once that poor sinner on the brink of woe. You were once that poor sinner on the brink of woe. Death was once moving for us. Hell was once moving towards us. And we were snatched out of that fire by Jesus Christ. We were snatched out of that fire by grace through faith. That even when we saw it on the horizon, even, we were snatched from it. It's an equal playing field. We were once sinners on the brink of woe, and now we go to a people who are on the brink of woe. We are sinners saved by grace. We go out with that message of grace to our communities. Because death and destruction are coming to so many, we do not compartmentalize our faith, brothers and sisters. We live it out so that we are the salt of the earth. So that's the weight part of this message. Because death is moving, we act as a preserving force in our world. It's not a saltiness that we get on our own end, but it's because of Jesus Christ. He says, you are, before we even do these works, we're declared as salt. And now so people will find their way. The others are lost. They're in darkness, as the Bible says. And so we go out to light the way for them. As a people of the kingdom of God, as people that are ambassadors for God and his kingdom and his gospel, we are the light to show people to the truth that is in God. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. We may not see it now, but in the invisible world, in the spiritual world, it's very dark. And then once we are made alive, we are the light of the world. We're a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. It's a lighthouse to where people can flock to. And that begs the question then, how are we the light in the first place? How does that work? I want to page over to 2 Corinthians 3:18 just really quick. I'll start in 3:16 of 2 Corinthians. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. This veil is talking about Moses. When he came down from Mount Sinai, the light of the Lord was shining on his face. The glory of the Lord was shining on his face. So he had to put a veil in between him so that the people were not ultimately destroyed and blinded. And so that's a big deal. We might not think of that as a big deal, but to those Old Testament people, for them to say the veil is removed, that's a huge deal. And in verse 17 it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. And so as we've encountered Jesus through the gospel, we with unveiled face see the glory of God. We with unveiled face see his majesty. Even before we were in faith in Jesus Christ, we'd be destroyed before the glory of God and his holiness. We get to stand before the perfect light of the world and the perfect righteousness in the world with unveiled face. And that's how we get our power for ministry in our community. That's how we get the power to go out. That's where we get our light from. So why on earth would we cover that up? Why on earth would we put a veil over it when the veil's already been taken away? When we've already sensed and we were already born again and we were that poor sinner on the brink of woe and we were brought into a loving relationship with God and now we have this light because we've encountered him with an unveiled face through Jesus Christ. Why would we put a bowl over the lamp at this point? Why would I put a bowl over the lamp? This is the light of the world. People and sinners slumbering on the brink of woe only will be pointed to the truth through the light and the power of the gospel. So let's shine it, brothers and sisters, and let's shine it together. Because we have the tools in our toolbox, if you will, to already be the light. Jesus says, you are the salt, you are the light. So the command here is to uncover it, to take the bowl off the lamp. It's to let the light shine. It's not to cave into political correctness or to anything in that and put the bowl over the lamp, but it's to take the bowl off and to shine the light of the gospel. And it's not like we, as David Guzek says, it's not like we just get the flashlight and shine it right in their eye and blind them, but we light them to the truth of the gospel. We preach the gospel with our mouths. We demonstrate it with our lives. Because people apart from Christ are in darkness and can't see the truth, it does no good for these people if our light is covered up. Verse 15, nor do a people light a light and put it under a basket, but on a stand, so it gives light to all in the house, so others may see the truth of God, so others may see how we are made right with God. We shine the light. If we deviate from this word, it's not the message of light. If we deviate from Christ as the power for our ministry, we're not the light. We ourselves can't be the light, as John says in chapter 1 of his gospel. I not being the light, I bear witness to the light, as he says in chapter 1 of John. That's what we do as well. There is nothing in us that is the light. We cannot manufacture our own light, if you will, in this kingdom of God. We must trust in Jesus, and we must trust in the gospel. That's why it's preached every Sunday. If we go away from it, we don't have power for ministry anymore. And the light that we have, we might think we have tons of light, but it really is not light at all. Because the truth of the gospel sets captives free, we do not compartmentalize our faith again. We live that so others might be pointed to the glory of God. This last verse here in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine always. I remember a couple times being on the river at Francis Case. And when you're about to go into the boat ramp, when it's dark out, there's a light post or a lighthouse or something. And I remember one night when me and Dad were out, it would have been quite bad if that light post wasn't there. We wouldn't have known where to go. I think my phone was even in low battery, so I don't think I could have used the map. That light is how we found our way home. So let's uncover our light. The light that we already have, because we've witnessed him with unveiled face, because the gospel has taken root in our own lives and the good news. Let's take the bowl off and shine it in our communities so that others may see our good works and are pointed and give glory to God. So what does that mean for us? I don't know where you're coming from this morning. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know what your last few weeks have been like spiritually. And I want to say to you this, No matter how weak you feel your saltiness and light is, I assure you it is there because of Jesus. I don't care if you felt like you've blown it as a Christian and you are doing horribly, the light is still there and the saltiness is still there. If you feel inadequate and you look at other people and say, I can never do what they do, I assure you the light is there in your own life if you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. No matter how weak, no matter how far you felt like you've been missing the mark, there's light there. Uncover it. As you go out into the world, when Jesus calls you to preach the gospel to people, don't cover it up. We might feel tempted to be comfortable. We might be tempted to be politically correct. We might feel tempted or despairing from our fear that we're experiencing, fear that we're not going to be enough. When we're telling people about Jesus, fear that we'll get it wrong. But I assure you, uncover the light and it's there. When Jesus calls you and gives you an opportunity to preach the gospel, preach it. That simple gospel that even though that we are sinners separated from God, that sin is that act of treason and disobedience against a holy God, and even though the consequences of that and the wages of it is eternal life apart from Him, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to earth, fulfilled the law, took on our sins, bore our sins, stood before the wrath of God, took our punishment in our place, and was raised to life. And then now that gospel message, that good message for people is, repent of your sin, turn from your sin and destruction, and trust in Jesus Christ. As we said last week, turning from sin is trusting in Jesus in the same coin. And so it's preaching this gospel to your friends, your family, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, people in the school, people in the community, people that you know they've been a long time, people you run into. It's preaching this gospel continually. It's being light continually. It's being salt continually. And in the way we live our lives, we live in a way that lights the world continually and preserves the world continually. In conclusion, because of this, as we continue in the series, we'll talk more about what it looks like to tell people about Jesus specifically. But what I'm asking you to is this: if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, would you with me take the cover off the light? And let's do it together. That's what the body of Christ is. I don't do it alone. I can't do it alone. I need your help. You all need each other's help. Let's take the cover off the lamp and let's light the community. And through it, through the power of the gospel, let's grow into that. Because we already are the light through faith, and we already are the salt of the world through faith in Christ. Let us open our lives to the Lord so that our faith is unpacked for the others to see. Amen.